Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, May 22nd, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
Last night we were up. We'll be replaying the program we had last night tomorrow. We will do a live report for the first few minutes of the program and play the last part of the program from late last night.
Which was an interview with James Corbett.
Yes. And he certainly is knowledgeable in the Asian area. And he'll be joining us, as far as I know, on a weekly basis for the most part. Gold today, it was up early in the morning. They decided to knock it down, but we still managed $2 out of the old guys in London setting the price of gold. We have gold $12.95.70, up just about a quarter of a percent. Silver was up 12 cents at $19.60. You also have platinum up $15, a little over 1% at $14.93. And you have palladium up 7 at $838. The USDX today is trading a little bit, a lot higher, 0.17 at 80.23, along with crude oil down 0.21 at 103.86, just about topping at that 104 level for oil. And I saw report today about gasoline over $3. It was so many days setting a record of it being consistently over $3 a gallon of gas. Paper markets today, and of course they edged a little bit higher today. The Dow was higher by about 11 points, 16,543. The Nasdaq up 22 at 41.54, and the S&P up at 1892, and the 10-year yield is beginning to move back up 2.56%. On the website today, stocks are still your best bet, and they show stocks in the middle with gold and bonds on either side of it and all tattered and torn and dirty. And even though gold has outperformed stocks and bonds, of course, we know the bonds are in a bubble. They're still pushing folks to get into the stocks that have been outperformed by both gold and the bonds. But you're not going to have a lot of talk about that. They're not going to discuss that. You had you do have a lot of people that are pulling their money out of the markets. They have slashed some of their exposure in recent weeks. And what I don't understand is they're choosing to pile it into bonds or simply hold cash. But what else is there, you know, for them in their minds? Their financial planners are certainly telling them not to buy gold. I think many of them are buying silver, and perhaps that's why we're seeing the amount of silver being sold to the degree that it is. But there's a fear of a major drop in the stock market. And, hey, if you're up here at these levels and you're making a profit on some of your stocks, why wouldn't you sell? Sell. Take some of your money off the table. Get it protected by gold. Put it in the gold. That's how you work these markets. But investors yanked about $8.2 billion from the long-term equity mutual funds during the first 3 weeks ending May 14th, and the funds were hit by $2.3 billion in net outflows in the final week alone. And so you do see this money coming out of stocks. And it's a smart money. I mean, the smart money's pulling out. The dumb money is staying and listening to the reports that saying that gold and the bonds are done. Well, I think bonds are done, but gold is not. And they believe that stocks will have much, much further to go. The Fear and Greed Index is standing at 25 yesterday, and that's indicating extreme fear. And that's down from 89 a year ago, and we did have that in our newsletter last weekend. So people are jittery, but you're not seeing a lot of changes in the market. But then again, when the markets are rigged, you don't know what the markets and the numbers are actually telling you. The Labor Department today reported that applications for unemployment benefits increased last week to a seasonally adjusted 326, and the four-week average fell to 322. And a seven-year low of last month. And that's, I got two stories here, Al. And, you know, sometimes you just read the headlines and it just irks the heck out of you. I have two of those stories. Would you care that I share them with you?
And I'm not afraid.
You're not afraid?
No.
Former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, I mean, he's a billionaire of his own, said Thursday he is honored to be a recipient of $1 million, Genesis Prize, and he pledged the money would go to help make the world a better place. He'll probably bring that right back into the States and put it more into gun control. He was in Jerusalem today to accept the prize, dubbed the Jewish Nobel. And it was awarded to him recognition of years of public service. And he already, he does donate to hundreds of millions, but, you know, he's a billionaire, so that's, I think, what he's supposed to do. But he is being honored. You have to have money to make money, right, Al?
Yeah, I guess so.
So it just kind of just another sign of the times. And and the other one was the House Senate spending bills would allow white potatoes in moms and kids nutrition program.
That's racially discriminating, isn't it?
My question is,
we need something for black potatoes too, Melody, and brown potatoes,
red potatoes. The point is, what's the House and the Senate's business? What women, even though they qualify for the WIC program, what business is it of them to tell them what they can and can't eat? Don't they have bigger problems to deal with than whether women and their babies can eat white potatoes?
Well, apparently not. The White Potato Growers Association, or some potato growers association, is probably in on this, and they have bribed congressmen to do something for or against white potatoes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make that happen. You know, we talk about this. I talk about it. I write about it on a regular basis and talk about it once in a while. But the government has passed laws going back as far as 1906, the Pure Food and Drug Act, which define food based on the presumption that the people are animals. This has been going on for over a century. You can find this at Title 21, Section 321 of the United States Code. They define food and drugs under the presumption that the people are animals. They do that because if you're an animal, you don't have the God-given, unalienable rights that are declared in the Declaration of Independence, and government has no obligation to secure those rights. Government looks at us as livestock, and it's not hyperbole or radical thought. This is what it says in multiple instances of the law. And as such, the government sits back and figures it can tell the animals what to eat. It can control what you eat, what the mother eats, what she fills it feeds her children, in the same sense that they can, that a farmer can determine what's going to be fed to his cows. This is a fundamental problem, and incidentally, it's an act of genocide when you dehumanize people to the level. And this is not radical talk. This isn't my opinion. This is what you can learn if you study these issues. When you degrade a person to the status of an animal, you treat them, you say you are an animal rather than a man or woman made in God's image. When you are degraded to the status of an animal, it is an act of genocide. And your government's been doing it in this country for over a century. And we see it, it's been slowly building, but it's built, it's a fundamental treason. It's not just injustice or mistake, it's an act of treason. It's evidence of spiritual warfare. They want to treat us as animals rather than men and women made in God's image as per Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And again, I've been sued under circumstances where this argument was, first time I understood the argument, I realized the definitions of food and drugs and how they applied to people. I was sued by the Attorney General of the state of Texas for $25,000 per day, $9 million per year. I stood to lose perhaps $20 million on this thing if it had gone to court. But after investing 6 years in this case and nearly $500,000, the Attorney General dropped the case after I advanced a line of defense that simply said, I'm not an animal, and I can't be subject to laws that regard me as an animal without violating my freedom of religion. And they dropped the case, and that is unprecedented. You're not going to find a story like that from anybody else, anywhere in the United States. You won't see that story. But it's evidence that these are not just crazy accusations. The government sees you as animals. There's animals. You can be controlled. You can be owned. You can be bought, stole, sold, and disposed of whenever your owner thinks it's a good idea. So that's my explanation as to why Washington thinks they can control whether mothers do or do not feed white potatoes to their kids.
Talking about food and fast food, we talked briefly about the workers demonstrating at McDonald's for a $15 minimum wage. And today I saw an article about how fast food restaurants and restaurants, they're beginning to experiment with new technology that would reduce significantly the number of restaurant workers. They are going to turn to robots. They're going to replace them with robots. You have there's backers in the restaurant industry that they're warning that with the sharp rises in wages, it would all be counterproductive and increasing the appeal of automation and putting more workers at risk of job loss. And you have Panera Bread. Is the latest chain to introduce automated service. They announced last month that it plans to bring self-service ordering kiosks as well as mobile ordering options to all of its locations within the next 3 years. This even follows moves from Chili's and Applebee's to place tablets on their tables, allowing diners to order and pay without interacting with human wait staff at all. And they're spending big money. Well, it's not big money, but Panera spent $42 million developing its system. It's probably a better system than Obamacare for only $42 million. But anyway, so, you know, you see that these folks that are demonstrating for higher wages, most likely they will be out of a job, getting no wages here in the very near future. But the, go ahead, Al.
Well, it's just, who do they think eats at McDonald's? Hmm? Is that a place where we see Warren Buffett on a regular basis? Do the billionaires of the world, they're the ones that hang out at McDonald's? If McDonald's is going to install robots to deal with people,
with all restaurants.
Well, I understand that, but who's going to buy the food? Mm-hmm. When we put people out of work, where will the people, I mean, where do you go after you lose your job at McDonald's? You go on welfare. Huh? That's where you're headed. It's not as if, oh, well, I lost the job at McDonald's, so I think I'll go become a systems analyst. That's not going to happen. And if they're going to put these people out of work and say, oh, they're costing us too much money, and they're going to. They're going to put them out of work. It's bound to happen. And it's part of technology. It's part of, it's, you know, I grew up in a little business where my dad had a little excavation business when I was a kid. And I grew up digging ditches and operating a backhoe and a Caterpillar and driving a truck and that sort of thing. I got down the ditch and I dug the ditches by hand, right? Now, as the backhoe became more and more popular and more common, it doesn't just dig ditches faster. It digs ditches that used to be dug by laborers. The backhoe, right? It puts people out of work, and so does every other labor-saving device that you can name. All those little gadgets you have in your kitchens, oh, aren't these handy? Aren't these great? Yeah, that's why you don't need a maid. And that means there are people who might, and other times they would have had a job, they don't have a job now. They've been replaced by machines. And what we're talking about, when you're talking about with robots, is just, you know, a step up. We're going to a new level, but it's the same process. This will be sold as a labor-saving device. Well, that sounds like a wonderful idea. It'll cut the cost of labor. Great, that's wonderful. But we keep doing that. Who is going to have a job? You know, that's where we're going with this thing. And what do you do as we have more and more labor-saving devices and people lose their jobs and they can't find any work because they really don't have the level of intelligence that's required in a technological society? Right? And that's not a bad thing. That's not but what are you going to do now? What are you going to do with people who can't get a job? They're smart enough. They could dug ditches, but we don't do that anymore. Oh, there's still a man in the ditch, but it's not the way it was 50 years ago. We don't need as many ditch diggers as we did. We're not going to need as many people working as restaurants as we once did. What are we going to do with these people? And the answer is there's three options that I'm able to see. One, you kill them. Can't get a job. They can't make a productive contribution. Then you kill them. The second one is you're going to have to put them on welfare and just pay. And those of you who have jobs, you're going to have to pay to support the people who don't have jobs. You're going to have to do it. Because if you don't, we go to the third option, which leaves them to commit crimes against the wealthier people in the society. The only way they can survive, they can't get a job, nobody's killed them. What are they going to do to feed themselves and their families? They're going to go out and mug people, rob people. What are we going to do? This is not a small problem. This is not a triviality. And it's here now. It's not a situation that's 50 years into the future. You know, we talked earlier about this idea, Melody and I were talking in part. We used to see movies when we were younger and when your kids, oh, the computers are going to take over and the machines are going to have a war. No, we're on the verge of seeing things like that happen right now. This is no longer 50 years into the future. It's beginning to happen in a meaningful sense right now. And what are you going to do with the people who can't find jobs? Not just because jobs aren't there, but because they lack the intellectual or physical capabilities to get a job. What are you going to do with them? And the numbers are growing. And we're going to put robots in McDonald's. I guarantee all it's going to do is increase the level of unemployment in this country. What are we going to do? Anybody have an idea? Maybe you can send us one by email here. We're going to take a break for some commercials. And perhaps you can send an email to... What do we send it to, Melody?
Questions@DGScoins.com. Questions@DGScoins.com.
We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thethreews.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Got an article here talking about how goofy, how bizarre, how strange our investment environment has become. Most of this was originally written by a man named Simon Black, and I've modified it some. He says when buying stocks, people no longer invest in businesses. They're merely gambling on the whims of a single individual. Will Janet Yellen print or not print? That's the question. And there's a lot of truth in that statement, you know. We aren't investing. The question is if Janet Yellen will print more fiat currency, then the stock market will go up. And it doesn't matter whether we are producing more products or making more profits or anything. The question is, will she print more money? And if she does, then you're going to make money investing in stocks. Even if you invest in corporations that aren't making a profit or maybe are headed for the garbage heap, the ash pile of history. Doesn't matter. As long as Janet Yellen at the Federal Reserve is printing more currency, you can make a profit. He says, consider, there is no reality check in our modern markets. On April 30th, the United States government released figures that the U.S. economic growth practically ground to a halt in the first quarter of this year. I think they claimed it grew by 0.1% in the first quarter. Now, and when the revised numbers come out, and they will, they'll probably show growth was actually negative for the first quarter. Right. But the government, the news comes out, U.S. economic growth practically ground to a halt in the first quarter. It may actually have been negative. We'll wait and see. And this was on top of continuing troubling economic news from China, Japan, and Europe. Right? Plenty of trouble. Got the Ukraine going on, Russ, this sort of thing. And how did the market react to reduced growth in the world's largest economies? The Dow Jones Industrial Average rallied to an all-time high. And Mr. Black says, the Dow Jones price, all right, that is to say the index, is disconnected from reality. That sort of news should have pushed the market down, but no, the market is going to rise. It's oblivious to everything except whether Janet Yellen is going to print or not print. There, that is the question. Two, they actually believe it's the weather. Mass consumer retailers from Walmart to Staples to Ford recently posted significant earning declines as compared to the same period last year. Their excuse? The weather. It was unseasonably cold. Apparently, the U.S. consumer couldn't get out there and shop because it was too cold. Never mind that luxury brands from Burberry to Lamborghini recorded record sales in the first quarter. Apparently, the wealthy people are impervious to cold. It's only the middle class and the poor people that are intimidated by cold into not spending anything during the winter and first quarter of the year. Nevertheless, the major stock indices traded near all-time highs, willfully ignorant of fragile economic conditions that imply that we may be approaching a significant decline, maybe a collapse. And three, mispriced junk debt. Yields on junk debt are back down to around 5%, and the iShares High Yield Corporate Bond, Junk Bond, ETF, Electronic Traded Fund, is trading at a record high. In other words, the market thinks that 5% is a reasonable rate of return given a significant likelihood that you could lose your money. In other words, get into junk bonds. You might lose your money on it, but who cares? We'll pay you a whole 5%. This touches on something we've talked about in the last few days on this program. What is your fundamental motivation right now when it comes to investing? Are you interested in making more money, more money, more money? Most people are. Natural, normal. Or are you interested in preserving the wealth that you already have? And this becomes an increasingly valid question. Which way are you going to go? What's your choice? Go out and see if you can get an extra 5% on junk bonds? Or preserve the wealth you have? If you go after that 5% bait, the bonds you purchase may turn out to be worthless. You could lose your capital while you pursue 5%. Or is that a sensible choice? Or is it more sensible to invest in something? Take your wealth, put it in something like gold or silver, something tangible, where in a worst case scenario, you still have your wealth. Worst case scenario, if your wealth is in paper, you are impoverished, almost certainly. All of these signs completely defy reality and common sense, indicating that the market, this is Mr. Simon talking, the market has lost all sense of rationality. We may very well have reached peak stupidity. You know, I watch some of these things that are happening, and they are in terms of how people invest their money. And they are not merely perplexing and bewildering to me. They were for a long time. They were for quite a while. Now they're just hilarious. I look at some of this stuff, and, you know, I can be wrong. I get that. I'm not giving you prophecy, and I can't tell you what God's truth is in these matters. But there is so much evidence that points to a significant decline in the value of paper debt instruments like stocks and bonds and 401ks and pension funds and even savings accounts. There's so much evidence that indicates we're headed for that. I can't tell you we're going to be there next week or next year, but we're getting closer all the time. I watch people ignore evidence that to me seems overwhelming and undeniable. And I'm just starting to laugh at them. You know, we have tried to explain this to people for a couple of years, and I understand that it's difficult to pay attention to these kinds of warnings, these kinds of opinions. When you give the opinion, and if we could give you a warning and say that the whole thing is going to blow up in everybody's face, in everyone's face next Monday at 2 p.m., well, we can't do that, and no one can. We don't know how long this system can hold together. But there is virtually no doubt that it is going to fall apart. It's not going to survive. It may be able to, you know, postpone the calamity. We may be able to drag this thing out for I don't know how much longer. But we certainly seem close to a moment when they finally just have to throw up their hands and say, my God, this thing's so crazy. Just be done with it. Let it die. Let it all collapse. And those people who are dumb enough to trust in paper, too bad for them. Those people trusted in gold and silver and farmland or whatever tangible, well, they're going to be okay. But it's coming to a point where I think they have to admit that. And there are so many things. We're running out of gold in comics. The silver fix is going to be ended on August 15th. The stock market is supported by Janet Yellen's decisions to print more currency or not print more currency. You know, I'm sure you can find some silver linings in this cloud. All right, every cloud has a silver lining, and I don't doubt that there are some. But you have to bear in mind that this is not a cloud made out of silver that we're talking about. This is a cloud. It may have a silver lining. There may be some good things that we can point to here, there, and around. But we're still dealing with an extraordinary cloud, and people continue to want to buy paper. In my opinion, I'm just sitting back and saying, I'm just laughing. And I don't care what happens to the price of gold. It can drop. I don't care if it goes up $500 or down $500. It is irrelevant to me. I believe the fundamental issue right now is to preserve your capital. All right? And if gold falls $500, it'll be irritating to me on one level. But as I've said before, all that means is I can buy more. I have no doubt. I just absolutely have no doubt that the day is coming when those who have gold are going to be happy campers and those who don't are going to wish they did. And I don't mean wish it a little bit. Not like I wish for a new Tesla automobile. Gee, I wish I had a Tesla. No, this is going to be an important wish. What do you think, Melody?
We've been talking to clients on the radio program for almost 20 years. You and I have been doing this program for a couple of years since Bob left, and Bob was with me on this program for, what, nine years, I believe. So, and before that, it was with someone else. So, you know, we've been warning folks and helping people for a very long time. But things are different. We talk about the debt, but it all comes back to a very simple basic, and that's our monetary policy. Our currency is not backed mm-hmm. by gold. And as long as we have a fiat currency, governments need inflation, they want inflation, and through inflation, they will steal all of your purchasing power.
They'll steal your rights along with it, and it's not just purchasing power that we lose to inflation.
Absolutely.
That inflation feeds the government, grows the government, and costs us rights.
You can't put your money in a bank. You lose your purchasing power with the 0.0001 that they pay you to use your money. And they tie it up. You don't have access to it. Your pension funds, your retirement funds. I know some of my clients do have their retirements. It is in paper. Get it protected. And as long as we have a fiat currency, this is not going to go away. It will continue to just, you know, I read today online now, the dollar has lost 95% of its purchasing power. We got 5% to go. And people talk about, oh, our dollar is going to be reset. It's going to be devalued. It's already been devalued. I mean, 5%.
But slowly, relatively slowly.
Yeah.
When they say reset, what they mean is there's going to be a sudden devaluation.
Exactly.
We've lost 90% over a period of a couple of decades. All right. But we're not talking about losing the remaining 5% over the course of the next 5 or 10 years. We're talking about seeing a reset where you go to bed one night and the dollar is worth a nickel, and you wake up the following day and it's worth a penny as compared to what it was 25, 30 years ago. And that will be that loss, even though, say, only it's only going from 5 cents to 1 cent, that's an 80% loss in terms of current purchasing power. Now, I'm not predicting, I'm not saying that the reset will necessarily result in an 80% loss of current purchasing power. But you can assume the purchasing power, you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to see your dollars down at least 30% in terms of in value. It might be 50%. I don't know. That's all plausible. I don't know what the numbers are going to be, and I can't know. Neither does anyone else who's, you know, listening to this program. None of us know what the answer is on this, but this is all plausible. And that's what a reset means. It means fast.
Earlier in the program, Al, we asked any of the listeners to send us an email about what are folks going to do when robots take over the world. And we live in the world of the Jetsons. And certainly you and I probably won't be here, but we did get an email in from Murray. He says, you're going to have to start a trade. You're going to have to do something that can't be outsourced.
That's exactly
and,
right.
And, you know, from small engine repair to home repairs, medical services.
Plumbing, electricians.
Plumbing, electricians, absolutely.
Remodeling kitchens. You know, and that's where it'll go. That'll be part of it. All right? But even so, you got a trade for yourself. What are you going to do with all the people who don't have a trade, don't have a job?
That can't do your services.
I mean, these people have to eat. They're not just going to roll over and die. If they have to crack skulls to rob people to get enough money to feed themselves and their families, that's what they'll do. And to some degree, that happens already. That's not news. That's not a prediction. That's an observation. It's already happening in society. Huh? So what are we going to do? We are coming on difficult times, and that's the lesson in all of this. That's the clear implication. And you can see them coming if you have sufficient courage to see. It's not a question of the information being so hidden or arcane that we can't obscure. Gee, I don't know. This doesn't make sense. I don't understand. That's not the problem. Just about everybody understands what I'm talking about. At least in general terms, where they say, you know, I think we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a big problem. But who has sufficient courage to prepare? And if you don't prepare, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to be out there scrambling with the very same people who don't have jobs. If you've kept your wealth in some sort of paper debt instrument, there's a high probability that you're going to lose much of your assets. Then what are you going to do? You're going to be out there scrambling with the people who don't have jobs, fighting for whatever you can find, beg, or steal. And you can ask yourself, if you've collected money over time and you've saved money and the rest of that, how adept do you think you are at street fighting or whatever you can beg, borrow, or steal? You got to do something to protect yourself, and you have to do it quickly. I'm Alfred Adusk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just want to remind the listeners, visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, and we got some great prices. We got 90% silver, very difficult to get. We have some quarters and 50-cent pieces that we have in the office, and, of course, we do have the special going on about the 1-ounce silver eagles, 275 over spot volumes. We can help out a little bit more, and you receive a 1-ounce silver eagle with every trade this month. So it's been a great month for gold and silver. People have been taking advantage. We do have a 3-day weekend coming up, so make sure you get your orders in, and so we can get it all shipped out to you. There's no delays in product. $20 gold pieces, their premiums are beginning to respond. That tells me people are buying $20 gold pieces. And certainly when we see, you know, $20 jumps in a couple buck move in spot gold. And the one interesting coin, yes, it did. It was an underperformer during the heyday of 2009 and 2010 for $20 gold. But it certainly has done well this past year, with gold being down about $100 from a year ago today. It's actually up $140. So kind of nice little going against the stream, so to speak, of all other coins. So that means there's big interest in those Mint State 65, $20 staying gotten. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And we have a caller. We have Mr. Jim from West Virginia. Good afternoon, Jim.
Oh, good afternoon. This deal with everybody going to robotics, putting people out of work, what are they going to do, is actually a very ancient problem. Ancient Greece, there would be people who were producing resources, this, that, and the other. Government will get big in the Greek city-states, enlisting more and more people to work for the government. And fewer producers until people got hungry. They went into revolution. Revolution means here we go around again. Smaller government go into place. It would grow, boom, revolution. Here we go around again. Same thing happened in ancient Rome. Same thing happened to Adam Smith writing in the 1700s. People in England would run out into the streets in the morning and try to find a job for the day. because it costs a darn much to live. Now, when I bit into a hamburger in the early 70s, it's actually about 70% hamburger and 30% taxes. I was eating the taxes. I have paid for them. Now, when you bite into a hamburger, what you're getting is two-thirds taxes and one-third hamburger. And folks, government is the number one cause of poverty, and this government is going to go down. No government has collapsed, has survived intact, the collapse of its currency. The government will shrink in size. There are a whole lot of people working for government who ain't going to have their job. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really rough in the short term. But the man who said, produce something of wealth, learn a trade, that is going to be the key. And there's also going to have to be some kind of land reform. I have heard that only about 20% of the land out in Missouri and Arkansas, for instance, the only places I have much information from in farmland, only about a quarter of it is in production. So once again, we're going to have fewer people in the government and more producing, more things of real value. And yeah, your great value to the world will be learning a trade where you build things, fix things, or grow things. But it cannot continue with this thing of everybody going to robotics. I remember, okay, in coal, you used to what's called shoot from the face. And then it was replaced by continuous miners. Then long walls. So, yeah, there's always been this march of automation. And I've worked automation, industrial control systems and robotics and such as that. That's what I used to do for a living, amongst other things. But what it boils down to is too many people, not enough resources, very ancient problem. In the 1700s, Adam Smith was saying, comparing the United States to England, too much government in England, and the United States was prospering because they didn't have very much government. So, folks, now you know the answer. Short term, yeah, get ready for anything. But long term, we do not. The war over there on terror, I've heard $2 to $4 trillion. In the Middle East, let's call it $3 trillion. 1.5 million people killed. That's $2 million the cost. It's through the allocation of resources, not lack of them. I think I've said enough.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for your call. When we're talking about fewer people in government, that's what we need. It's part of the, you know, the Constitution is fundamentally about limited government. And the government is fundamentally about unlimited government. They think the best thing you can have, we need more and more government. And the truth is, we can't afford it. It's a glorified form of welfare. It would be better to just take most of these government employees and let them sit home and watch TV. At least you wouldn't have to pay the cost of transportation to get them back and forth to a job where they sit around and do whatever it is they do. They're not making a productive contribution to this society. We don't need them. Anybody who's in government who thinks you've got a necessary job, why don't you just try advertising your job in the newspaper and see how many people would hire you? Say, well, I'm a former government employee, and I'm in charge of regulating how, I don't know, the width of toilet paper rolls. Whatever it is you've got to do. Put an ad in the newspaper and say, and I need to be paid double what you can make regulating the width of toilet paper rolls in the private sector, and see how many people respond to your ad. See how many people I want what you have to offer. You know, you can take a job. You can do a job ditch digging. You can put an ad in the paper and people will hire you. They may not pay you a big wage, but you can get a job as ditch digger. Who will voluntarily hire a bureaucrat, a regulator? Not many. And it's a kind of evidence that people have to recognize. You know, the government is a sweet racket. A lot of people can retire after just 20 years. All the rest of the chumps out there who are paying income tax and actually working for a living, they don't get to retire until they're 65 or 70 years old. They can put in 50 years working, while some government employees only have to work 20. And then they get a retirement program that's far more generous than Social Security. And for doing what? They've made no productive contribution to society. And some of them say, well, we're just playing the system. You know, it's the opportunities there, we take it. Yeah, I get that. Just in the same sense that I get that if I'm walking down the street and somebody loses his wallet, falls out of somebody's pocket, I can pick it up and just play the system, take it home, stick it in my pocket, take it home, see what I can find in the wallet, maybe get a couple $100 out of it and throw it in the trash. I'm just playing the system. It can't work. Somewhere down the line, people have to be morally responsible, not merely to make a claim on their rights, but also to accept the correlative duties. We have people right now that are going into welfare. It's become generous to a point where it's tempting. There are places where people in the continental United States where people are getting paid over $30,000 a year just to be on welfare. If they work the system and get everything they can get out of it, they make $30,000 a year on just welfare. How can that be afforded? How can it be ignored? You know, the people coming out of high school say, hey, sounds good to me. $30,000 a year, don't have to do anything but watch TV and smoke dope. Sounds like is this a great country or what? Well, the answer is, or what? Because the truth of the matter is we can't continue to afford a growing segment of the population that thinks they can live without working. Can't be afforded. It's not just a matter of money. It's not just a matter of greed. It's a matter of a kind of reality that is both, it's financial and it's moral. It can't be. It can't last. And the more it grows, the more it will grow. We put more people as we raise taxes to support people on welfare. We put more taxes on people who aren't on welfare. How long before somebody who's working a job at McDonald's that we were talking about earlier in the program, how long before they look at their taxes and they sit back and say, what am I going to work at McDonald's for when I could be making $30,000 a year on welfare? It just becomes common sense. When it becomes common sense, you're better off paying on welfare than you are working at McDonald's. What are you going to do? And all that does is, what that means is there are less people working to contribute to the people who are receiving welfare. And that just means that the burden on the people who still have jobs is growing. And that means inevitably that more and more of the people who do have jobs are just going to say, to heck with it. I'm out of here. I'm tired of paying these extraordinary taxes. I bust my butt, and I'm living just marginally better than my brother-in-law who's on welfare. The whole philosophy becomes self-destructive. It's like a drug. It's like crack. It's like cocaine. Go ahead. Get high. That's what welfare is. It's kind of high. Get high. See how long it lasts. I don't know where we're going with this exactly, Melody, but you know, this has to do as much with a moral breakdown in this country as it does with a financial breakdown. I have no doubt. I can't prove it, but I have no doubt that if I talk to 30%, if I had a sample, a good sample of the American people, I'll bet you 30% of them, you try to explain to them that they need to work, so they actually need to make a productive effort to support themselves, they're going to look at you like a dog, as if you're speaking in tongues. They're going to say you're crazy. And given the way the situation is, they've got a powerful argument. Those of you who have jobs, who's the smart guy? The people who are living on welfare or the people that are busting their buns to have a job? Who is the true smart guy? Who's smart? Who's crazy? In the context of the world we live in, it's not clear. But it will be clear when the system breaks. Talking about fewer people, we need fewer people in government. Part of the reason we have so many people in government, government growth accelerated dramatically in the last 15 years or so, maybe 20. And the reason is it was compensation for the jobs that were sent overseas. We used to have industries in this country, but in its infinite wisdom, the government knocked down the tariff barriers and effectively forced our companies, certainly allowed them and effectively forced them to relocate their plants to third world countries where they could hire cheap labor. They shipped jobs overseas. How did they compensate? Well, I know. Let's put them to work as a regulator. Instead of building things, they can regulate people who do. Well, we're catching up with that now. The problem, they concealed the loss of industrial jobs by increasing the number of state, local, and federal jobs. And they got away with it for a while. It was, you know, people didn't notice. But the moment is coming. People are going to notice. Whether they like to notice or they don't like to notice, they're going to notice. And those of you, you know, those Americans who sit back and say, well, I don't have to pay any attention to that. Oh, yeah? All right, don't. Watch and see. They're going to be screaming for help in the foreseeable future. And I just regret that I can't give you a date. It is the one great omission in the warnings and the, you know, the insights that we offer on programs like this. We're not the only people that have this handicap, but that's the handicap. You got to give the system credit. Got to give the devil its due. System has survived for decades beyond when it probably should have collapsed.
We got a quick question now. What would be the best trade to go into with the least government interference?
Well, I don't know. You might... First order of business is to get tools. All right? You may be surprised at what kind of trade you go into, but you must own your own tools if you're going to go into a trade. And one of the things you can do right now is begin to accumulate tools in the same sense, you know, that you can make other investments in a worst case scenario. If the neighbor needs some help on her plumbing, if you got the tools, you can help. If you don't have the tools, you can't. If they need help on the roof, if you got the tools, you can help. If you don't have the tools, you can't. There's two parts of this. You have to have knowledge, too. But there's a certain amount of earn while you learn. You can learn things if you do things on your own. You can learn how to fix things. And there'll be a lot of things that'll be fixed in a worst-case scenario. They will be just put together any way you can. They won't be controlled by regulations and rules. I mean, if you use a spit and baling wire and bubble gum to achieve a certain result, people will say, thanks, that guy's a good handyman. But got to have those tools. First order of business, get the tools. What's best after that? It depends on your area. And you just have to be flexible enough to do whatever it is that you can at a price that you are willing to work for and the other guy can afford to pay. Worst case scenario, you may be glad to get $5 an hour. But you're not going to get it if you don't have any tools. You have to have the means of production, and for an ordinary man, that means tools. We're out of time for today. Melody will be back mañana with James Corbett. I want to thank all of you folks for listening to Financial Survival. We'll be back on, I'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.